Noah, two Sundays ago when you were having a meeting at the fairgrounds, I came. We got there at 11 o'clock, and by 1 o'clock I had another commitment and had to leave. So I decided to come back last Sunday and was here for an hour when I was asked to leave.
I never met you. I knew you must have got, you were gone before I got here.
Yes. That's why I was so amazed, and that's why I'm so happy to be here tonight.
Is there someone else, too, that was also with you that was asked to go?
Yes, Dr. Eaton and Maria and I were here last Sunday together.
Will you try to communicate this experience? And I knew it was a horrible hour, but as you mentioned, the mobility of this group, not only do I travel, but the whole church travels. And we're getting ready to go to Los Angeles, and we couldn't find any time that we were certain of until September where we could really hit it. And I like to see things resolve quickly if you can, but I said, if you didn't mind coming to this unheard of hour, which I've never asked anyone to come at this late hour, believe me, it's not my pattern to ask people to interrupt their evening at this hour.
Nope,
but I thought if you'd shown this much interest, it was our responsibility to certainly try to get together.
Thank you for the invitation.
But I'm sure you could just give us a wealth of experiences that first time you came in. Now, you came in while we were gone, and that would be a different type of approach than when I was here. And even then you came in a religious healing service. If you were there Sunday a week ago, it was primarily healing, I would imagine. Spiritual healing, as I recall. In the fairgrounds, you're speaking? And now, I wish you had been able to come earlier. We've had confrontations. We have four senior citizen homes. We have a convalescent sanatorium. We're purchasing another. And we're thinking of a youth kind of a cooperative here where young people will, single people will be able to live of this particular, will be girls, I guess, young ladies. Our brothers, we're not absolutely certain. And when you have this close-knit family in a children's home of 40 acres, we have dormitories stretched between here and San Francisco, 61 young people in college, 9 of them, for instance, in medicine. I don't know the breakdown of other fields. A lot of things arise that people don't have when they just gingerly meet each other on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock from 11 until 12. When you live under the same roof, as it were, it's too bad we haven't met earlier. We have midweek meetings, but they're this type. Meetings where we would feel more comfortable with people who we know. And now we're glad to get to know you so that we're able to get together more often. But usually we have been here every midweek. We have a midweek full meeting. Two services, because we can't get the congregation in this roof, under this roof, all of them at one time. But we're now thinking of making the main thrust of our effort in the Bay, coming up here for retreats. We've not really decided fully. We were hassling over that tonight. But we have a tremendous drawing power in a metropolitan area, and we've got more to say. Really, in a metropolitan area, we're familiar with ghetto life, and that most of us came from that experience by choice or by adoption. I was a director of the Civil Rights Commission of a large city, and I lived in an interracial setting that was really a deprived neighborhood for about 13 years with my family. So, in a sense, we don't feel that we have as much to offer an agricultural community. We've sort of adopted this. We have made it a purpose to not try to recruit many people locally. We've run into a problem based on the liberalism of my theology. Now, the lady in front of you is very fundamentalist. She's Mrs. Letourneau of the Assemblies of God background. You've probably heard of the Letourneau Implement Company, family of some recognition in the field of implement industry, and she's also well known, her family, for their orientation to a full gospel, I don't know if you understand the charismatic. And she and I would hold different, varying points of view. I don't know just exactly. We don't bother about our differences. We have so much in common. We don't worry too much about our differences. We both believe in helping people. But Mother's our teacher, our main Bible class teacher. She's in her middle 80s and lively and knows how to take her fundamentalism and apply it liberally. But I don't know how to do that too well. I'm a liberal that doesn't know too much about how to apply my religion with any fundamentalist tone. And in this community, as you're probably familiar, maybe yourself even more orthodox than I, this is quite a conservative community, theologically speaking. And we have found that when we make an effort here, what resulted a few years ago was we'd get a husband and the wife wouldn't come, or we would get a wife and the husband wouldn't come. And maybe we even have cases of it. I won't name names, but those of you who come, I see, is Jack gone? He had to go to work. There's one man here that suffered grossly. He is committed to integration, and he's committed to a ethical humanism. And his wife not only is not committed, but I think his stand, maybe communications problem, maybe we haven't always interpreted. We tried very hard. We tried to carry our convictions as loose garments rather than trying to be offensive, but she has become entrenched and more anti-black than ever. Hate, almost. And we've tried to resolve this the best we can. We can't tell people. We almost told him to quit coming. We felt like it was such a hassle. Family came in here one time. They came in with really disturbed and used words that we don't want to repeat, racist words, and really threatening over the loss of their father from his former theological perspective and even his attitude on race. They seemed to feel that this was a subversive movement because we were enacting the Bill of Rights. But after we let them say what they had to say and roll with the punches, that eased off. But in nearly every situation where we have made we never really proselytize, we never evangelize, we don't go from door to door, we make no effort to win anyone here. But where people who have come across our paths have come in, it's unfortunate that there have not been more solidarity of interest. There's not been the husband and the wife, but just one or the other. We have a few cases. How many couples did come in from the Kai area, stand up where you came together? I could get to know you. All white, of course, we didn't have anything. But nearly everyone else grew up in the Bay, are in the original Indiana. There's a nurse there, a professional nurse. She didn't stand, but I guess she's getting ready to go to work. She is a longtime worker here, member of a fundamentalist church. She didn't have an actual difficulty with her own immediate family because she's alone now, but her mother and her sisters and her brother raised Hail Columbia over her coming in. So we felt that if we want to do anything here to interpret the major concepts that we have felt were important, particularly brotherhood, we feel that we do have a really viable experience in brotherhood. We can say without any question that we've overridden the racial problem. We felt that we were going to have to emphasize reaching outside people who didn't have these entrenched prejudices. Also, local churches wouldn't feel so threatened. So we can gladly say we've never taken anyone's members locally. In fact, most of you weren't church people, were you? A great number of you were agnostics. How many of you were agnostics or atheists? That's good section of the people that had no religious background. So in that sense, we feel good that we didn't disrupt anyone else's religious orientation. And the rest of you were, how many came from fundamentalist backgrounds? Fundamentalist, some of you don't know what I mean. Furniture of heaven, temperature of hell, that jive, you know? Okay. That's what I'm talking about. I would probably say I'm sort of an agnostic in a sense. There's a wonderful extra sensory power that works. It's compatible with what I see in Scripture as the nine gifts. I'm distraught that I cannot effect cures for all that are sick. We have effected cures for phenomenal things. We've seen phenomenal things happen. Cancers healed, which is unheard of. Terminal cancers. Terminal cancer sitting back there. The woman, she was in really bad condition. There's a woman back there that had terminal cancer. Miss DuPont that had terminal cancer. B. Martin works with a government agency. Several. And then we've had nearly any kind of phenomena you mentioned take place. But in the sense that you're not a panacea, doesn't inspire you quickly to make a lot of platitudes about the universe. So I just simply say, quite compatible with Christ's teachings. I think they've never been tried, so I'd like to give them a whirl. If your enemy hungers, feed him. We really can't say Christianity's failed. Maybe the church has, but we've never really tried Christianity. But I myself, I make no real concern about immortality other than the immortality of my work. I believe in an immortality emotionally and experientially. Intellectually, I have some trouble with it. I've had some things happen here that clearly prove the continuum of life from our experience. We feel it has. I would say the majority of us probably hold to a doctrine of reincarnation. This has come about from some of our delving into the parapsychological. Although not all, certainly Mother doesn't come from that kind of background, but some of the experiences that have come out of through the manifestation of the parapsychological gifts, or the extra-dimensional or whatever, the esoteric, we have been led to conclude that that is the way life continues. That there's more equality. And perhaps, too, there's a subjective thing. The old concept of one hell and one heaven is too heavy for me. I can't see equality in that. But if a person does learn empathy through several experiences, then at least you can talk more about order in the universe. Although we make no criterion for worship here, we have atheists who come who are attracted because we take in every child that is brought to us. I don't think of one agency that's come to us, and we've had a private psychiatrist this week that asked us to take a child in. We're taking her from San Mateo, who'd had good experience with some other cases he'd sent to us, or from courts. No matter what the problem, someone here takes them. In a case of a troubled child, a child that they had no favorable prognosis for tonight, one of the families immediately volunteered to give it a whirl. And so some are here just because they see a caring and sharing group. Some are here because they were attracted by our animal refuge shelter. We've got all kinds of little things down there that are being mended, wings that are being mended and legs that are being mended, and every little animal that was shoved aside we take in. You've heard of it, maybe you've heard locally the Kearns Animal Adoption Program. Well, that's primarily our church. It's a member of our church, and we do all the all the animals that get placed, unfortunately, are placed here. We haven't had one placed outside of our church. And we feel like we're about to have animals run out of our ears. But whatever, if it's compensation for some feelings of guilt, we don't try to elaborate on that. We're interested in making the world a better place. Whatever we may be compensating for within our personalities, we feel that if we are kinder, maybe the world will be kinder. We feel there's an enlightened self-interest in that sense. We know that selfishness exists in us, but we want to make it an enlightened self-interest, that by being kinder to all living creatures, maybe that kindness will come back. I think I certainly have evolved, and I know some in this leadership and laity have evolved to the degree that they're not interested so much in kindness coming back to them as adults, but we certainly want the world to be a kinder place for our children to live in. And I dig that you can relate to that. You'd probably be right there with us in that bag, that you're not so particularly interested in what you get back, but you'd like a better world for those you love to be able to grow up in. I've yakked enough, I think. Anybody wish to ask him any questions about his faith? He's Greek Orthodox. It's quite similar to the Catholic Church in some ways, but you have much more liberality than others in the sense of marriage, and you're certainly more progressive, probably, as a movement, aren't you, than the Roman Catholic Church? Or is this generally so? I know at least locally you gentlemen are more liberal. But now the Roman Catholic priests that we have now seem to be more liberal than what we were familiar with. We had an Irish priesthood here that was just here until about 2 or 3 years ago, and they were something else. They were out in the woods, but these gentlemen seem to be swinging individuals. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about your church and how it compares to the Catholic Church or something else that they could relate to.
That's difficult in two words, Jim, but I will tell you that there's a bit more individual freedom in the Eastern or the Greek Orthodox Church. That's probably based on the fact that the Eastern Church is part of the Eastern world, and we've never had a Roman code of law, so to speak, as mm-hmm. the Western Church. Mm-hmm. So it's more contemplative. There's more individual mm-hmm. freedom. Mm-hmm. What we're doing here in Ukiah is largely the result of individual efforts, so we mm-hmm. do have that freedom to act individually.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that in that respect, the Eastern Church, compared to the Roman Catholic Church, allows its own priesthood.
I can see why it would be.
To function individually. And that, I think, is largely a historical accident. The Eastern world was never really interested in forming codes of laws and regimenting things as the Western world.
That's a good thought. I hadn't even considered why there would be this difference. Too busy in our own world. It's really good for us to learn. How many of you are familiar with the Greek Orthodox Church? Had you ever heard that this is much like the Catholic Church? They just didn't accept the papacy. At some point, there was disagreement as to who was to be the head of the church, wasn't it? And about what it amounted to. And so they've gone their own way because of commitment to their beliefs. Politically, are you now with the regime in Greece? How does the church react to this? We're of course terrified of anything that's tyrannical from left and right, and we wondered how does this affect your church today?
My background is Greek Orthodox, but the term Greek Orthodox encompasses more than just the people of Greece.
Yes.
Only a small percentage of the Greek Orthodox Christians come from a country
called
Greece.
Where is your prelate? He's in Istanbul?
In Istanbul, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that even though my parents were Greek immigrants, the word Greek is more comparable to the Latin word in the Western Church. However, what's happening in Greece is a very good example of what's happened historically in Greek Orthodox countries. The church has tended to be localized in a national country. So we have Greece, we have Russia, the Russian Orthodox Church in Russia. And when governments come in that are strong enough to control the church, then the church suffers as well as the political government. What happens in a country like Greece is that you have a military dictatorship now, which is all-encompassing in what it controls. It controls the press. It controls church elections. This, however, has been something that's historically taken place in Orthodox countries.
But when you think of Greece, you think of the cradle of democracy. It's kind of disheartening to see this happening. But I gather that probably you're right in that sense. I am glad to hear of your point of view. I'd sensed in the Bay when some time ago, Christopher is of the Greek, isn't it, mayor, former mayor?
George Christopher, yes.
I heard him coming out in support of the Greek regime, and this gave me the heebie-jeebies and a few others, and I was wondering if there was a current flowing through the Greek community that was pro-Grecian politics. I hope that didn't exist. I didn't know. I made no public pronouncement on this subject in the church whatsoever. I didn't even tell them what I feared. This is the only time I've ever shared this thought. I noticed a whole lot of leading Greek members of the San Francisco or the Bay community supporting the Greek regime, and Christopher went so far as to say we could do well if we were more like it. And I wondered who. That made me apprehensive.
The average person who's of Greek background here in the United States remembers Greece as a country largely like France for about 20 or 25 years after the Second World War, where one government was succeeded by another one in matters of months.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from my own personal experience in Greece, you could wake up there in the morning and not know if the trolleys were going to run or if the garbage would be collected or if there'd be a newspaper strike. And so what apparently was political chaos was solved by the simple expediency of taking away freedom. The average Greek citizen lives in a province and only knows that the government is all-powerful. The average American citizen of Greek background, like the people you were talking about, know now only that when you go to Greece, you're not hassled by a customs inspector who expects
much
you
more order.
To stay there for a half an hour while he inspects your papers, and if the tip is large enough, it won't stretch into 2 hours. So things are far more orderly, but you see, dictatorship is the most effective form of government in the world. It has nothing to do with freedom. And when they go back there, the government knows how to take care of them well. The country runs more efficiently. And so you get comments like, America would do well if it could copy some of the things that are happening in Greece. Though there's no consideration of what happens to personal liberties. There's no such thing as a free radio or a free press in Greece today.
I was going to ask you, is it as bad as it has been presented by such stories as Z, for instance, which I think we did see. We do have that background. I'd forgotten we made that a suggestion, and the congregation even went as a group to see Z. Did you see Z?
Yes, I saw the picture.
Was this somewhat historical? Or?
Yeah. Oh, yes. The happenings were a little garbled as far as the chronological order of things, but that was based on a true happening in Greece.
I didn't see too much difference between some attitudes in America. That's what really disturbed me more than anything. It wasn't the uniqueness of the fact that it happened in Greece. I could see the same kind of thing easily happening here. I mean, the mentality, the same kind of mentality that you deal with, maybe not as obvious in the military, but in San Diego and some of my contacts, we have one retired military person here, some of the things they say that military people say was quite comparable to the kind of thing that you saw coming right out of Z. Just take this thing over, dissent, as you say, order. Order is the most important thing, law and order without justice. And I'm terrified of order without justice. Well, it's good that you gave us this feedback. We have had I don't have any contact to speak with people who are in your faith or of your national background, even remotely so. And when I saw the number of people who had supported the Greek takeover, I wondered, would they lend themselves to that kind of thinking? Did they really mean that we want all the tyranny that goes with it? And I am really afraid, do you think that this is the sentiment of a lot of Americans today, that we prefer order?
I think that we as Americans have to share in a lot of that, because we historically, to expedite our own aims in the world, have supported governments like that and tended to gloss over all the political inequities. We've done that in Spain. We've done that all over the world.
Yes, we certainly
have. In Central America, in South America.
Do you go so far as to some that the CIA actually helped bring about the coup d'etat in the Greek government?
Well, I don't know. I attended a lecture once about 4 years ago where someone brought out the fact that historically in Greece, this is the first time the government was ever taken over by the military counterpart of the CIA. The KIP in Greece is the intelligence wing out of which the colonels function.
That's what I was reading.
Take over the
Newsweek, you know, Washington Post made this suggestion.
But that's a big jump to say that because it was their intelligence section that took over the government, that this was backed by the CIA.
Interesting to see
what we do as a government, as America.
Yes.
We ordered military support, arms, stopped to Greece right after that takeover. 2 years later, however, the facts came out that we had supported them with more military shipments in those 2 years than ever before.
That's what leaves me with such consternation. You'll find all these denials, and then later on the front page, as it was in the Chronicle, there was absolute denial by every phase of our government that we were involved in the murder of the dean, in the Buddhist leaders in South Vietnam. Then later, frank admission by our own government that we had been involved. And then, the NBC white paper that, or CBS white paper that brought out the number of things the CIA has undertaken, the planned assassination of Sukarno, but they didn't get a call, or didn't go the way they wished it, and the murder of the Iranian premier several years ago, and you wonder if this has been the pattern 20 years ago, if it's not probably even worse today. Then what came out today, something else I saw about the CIA, what was it that someone was accusing them of? I want to hide from some of this information, I think. It was a bit of news today. Did anyone read the news about the CIA? Yes. What did he say, Professor Rohr?
I read two reports about this book. He's a former OSS man, and he's written a book which I think is probably, although not fictional, I think it's written from the point of view of making a good story.
Mm-hmm.
I've read this with the, I don't say these things aren't true. For instance, he suggested that somebody in the State Department suggested assassinating Ho Chi Minh, and the CIA said it wasn't a good idea. I think he's just collected a lot of gossip that he is telling because it makes a good story.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that he didn't work for them recently enough, nor in a high enough position to have very much information. He's just picked up gossip on the fringes, that's what I suspect. And I don't think they even care very much if he tells it. It's
why do you think they don't care?
I don't think he's going to tell anything that's very fundamental. I don't think you'll learn anything from the book. It'll just be like another spy story.
That's interesting. I
work in the State Department over in India, and I have some contact with.
What do you? Yes, I know you do have. What did you think of the allegation by I've forgotten the name of the man that left the CIA over CBS network some months ago that said that the CIA was involved in 80% of the drug traffic. I don't remember the names of the involved, but in Southeast Asia, they were actually transporting drugs in U.S. planes to support the corrupt governments there, what you were mentioning, dictatorships that we feel that we have to deal with, I guess, to stop a greater threat as we feel communism to be.
I didn't put that past them at all. Of course, I left my European service about 15 years ago, and I didn't ever hear of anything of that type when I was in Asia, but they have a very large amount of equipment and large numbers of men, so I think it's possible they would do anything to keep a government in power that they wish to keep in power.
Well, I hope Orwell, what's his name, is wrong, 1984. I hope that that's all wrong. Sometimes one looks at patterns and sees that we feel that the way to combat another alien idea or tyrannical ideas by adopting another one of the same type to support our own particular economic system. But one can easily become too apprehensive these days. That's why we like to ask. We have no hesitation to disagree. She disagreeing with my point of view there. And I'm sure that we have varying points of view, and some of you are more radical in your thinking. Don't hesitate to say it. This is a free assembly. You have any other comment? I know it's late. Do you have any other comment? We don't mind. We're late birds. We stay all night. For one reason or another, not that bad. We usually get home by 1 during summer, and then during school year we get strict because children have to get up in the morning. Does anyone have any question you'd like to ask them? We are not communicating. We're not communicating fully, you know. If you want them in I know what you're going to say, and I don't want to be responsible. The next time we have a catharsis, you'll say no until you start opening up a little more.
Well, mine's a pretty naive question, you know, going back to comparing to the Catholic Church. But you were talking about the independence that you have. Now, is your school, your Trinity School, right? Okay. Is that run in the same sense like the Paulist Fathers run schools, or the different sisters run schools and colleges and things? Or are you independent to structure your school and to plan the academic, religious, etc. program yourself?
Trinity School is sponsored by our church. However, we're completely independent. I'm the only member of our faith at the school. We have a staff of some 50 people who are not associated with our church. And
children are certainly different than most religious groups.
The children that come to us are children of all denominations. There's never any question made.
How can we help you in that area? We're very much interested in helping with children. If there's anything, of course you can't think this late hour maybe, but if you find anything we can do, that's really wonderful that you have not parochialized your school. And it's certainly given you a great deal of liberty, I would think, to work with people of cross-section of backgrounds. It's healthy. I'm not fond of parochial institutions. We've felt the necessity at times of having a school of our own because in the schoolroom we have some fundamentalist teachers who go so far as to call of the devil the theory of evolution. Darwin is castigated like you would Satan, and this gets under our skin at times because we are most of us here are Darwinian and are inclined to the theory of evolution, or far more than inclined, and to get that guff all the time, it tempts one to be a part of a to form your own school, and they have a fairly good school, I guess, an experimental school. out a free school out the way on Tom Kai Road, but he doesn't take care of enough people. And we're so equalitarian that we couldn't put a few of our children in a school without putting all. We're kind of interested in that type of school, but we would be most hesitant to reinforce our own prejudices of thinking, religious thinking. And for that, we feel that exposure to the public school system is good. But we run into a whole lot of racism. Your school is just for your own members, I suppose. I mean, they're not members of your church, but those who are enrolled in your school, who live in residence, is the school, do you send them to the public school or do you teach them there?
No, we have our own school on campus.
Is it just confined to the residents of your...
Of Trinity School, yes.
Wish you'd be able to have the facilities to expand it, because I imagine you have controlled the racial factor. As you're quite familiar, I'm a school teacher myself on the secondary level, and we have several. How many school teachers here? Several of them are gone tonight on another meeting, but there's one who's head of a department, another in this college, and he's a college teacher, and English department head. Bilingual teaching. She's an elementary. Now the bus is rolling in. Racism is more in evidence now than it was a decade ago, and even reinforced by people who ought to know better. We've run into some very bad things being said by teachers, racial connotations. We don't mind a joke. We can take a joke. We're not that uptight. We'll even amongst ourselves talk about niggers, too, as long as nobody else outside calls us niggers. We all say in here, we're all niggers, we wouldn't be here. White, black, and brown, we're all niggers. But because we mean that, anyone that is treated niggardly, anyone that is downrated and not given their full equality, we might as well face it. In that sense, we're being treated as niggers, and as long as anyone is being treated as such, we joke about this amongst ourselves. But we certainly don't like that thing thrown at us, but a little racial joke now and then. But when people actually get up and try to support differences of race based on some ridiculous Bible passage or some curse, we've had this happen right in the school system where they bring up the curse of Ham. It makes us uptight. But we've found no solution but to just mill along. And there are pleasant exceptions. But have you noticed this happening, that there's more racial feelings even on the part of supposedly enlightened people? I don't think, from our angle, and I hope I'm wrong, we don't see an improvement overall in the racial relations. That the emergence of nationalistic feeling and sense of black pride has perhaps caused further alienation. What do you feel about this thing? Do you think it's an overall net, or are we not being able to see the trees for the forest or something of that sort?
Well, I think we're far more aware of it today, and one of the byproducts of this awareness is that in many of us here in America, our racism has gone undercover, quite unconsciously, too.
Yes, that's true.
It's appropriate today not to be racist, but if you look closely, there's a lot of it right under the surface. Mm-hmm. We received a questionnaire from the Civil Rights Commission down in the Bay Area, asking us as a state licensed agency to supply them with information how many children were black, how many were of other minority groups with Spanish surnames, Filipinos, other Asians, and Orientals. And for the first time, we had to sit down and start counting. How many children do we have that are black? How many do come from Oriental background? They're all there with us. And it caused us to pause and to say to ourselves, how is it that we came to the point in our school of being able to see these children as children and not white or black or Oriental?
So should it be.
Okay, so I think that That is a byproduct of getting to know people individually. If we would just see these children for an hour a day and see them as problem children that come to us for therapy, I think we would tend to see them as a black child or a white child. But when you live with them 24 hours a day, year in and year out, you begin to see them as individuals, and it doesn't take long for color and background to be something that's completely insignificant.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Well, you give us heart. We're glad you're in the community, to say the least. When I said communicating, I don't mean that we're any division between us, but our people are just not talking as much as they usually talk. Believe me, they can talk. But I think they probably feel that they would overtax you at this hour. Because we were very, really thrilled about your coming, and we hope that we'll be able to do this more often. While in this, the last emphasis of finances, maybe you might take them to show the senior citizen home, and I'll be there in about 5 minutes. We've got to make this last financial report. No use for them to go through that. And I'll join you across the way in just a minute. Maybe if you could, another 10 minutes, I'd like to talk a little bit more to you if you could. I don't know. If you would prefer to meet the people, we can forfeit this little business. But there'll still be time. They'll be milling around. One of our senior citizens has a project. Give them on me. I'll pick the tab. She makes awfully good steak. And one of them's out there's 88, and she's got fried chicken, and they've got 88 and 90. These gals never quit. Then you'll have time to talk with the folks, too, as they socialize. And don't forget, folks, to support that project out there for our children's work, and it's a good way you can feel that you're supporting and get something out of it too, because they sure can cook, can't they? It's good food. I wonder if you would get them over to the house after they eat, or see that. That I'm not overheard. I want to get some more money here. I want to get some more money, and we got to do it. So now let's get it quick. Beginning pledges. The offering report was ridiculous. So if you can, I think that Laura, Chaykin, you might talk a little bit to them on healing, even though you're humanistic. Go out and talk to them a little bit about, you know. But I think the healing might be good, just to give them some dramatic things, because I was humble about it. Thank you. Did you see anything in my approach how you would approach a person? I'm quite confident that I can move heaven and earth, but you don't tell people that. You prove it to them. And you take them little by little and then prove it to them. And you can do a lot more than if you make great big promises. If you don't promise and produce, that's better than to promise and not produce. But I can see that they've got, I know where they put us, they put us in a bag of cultism. And that kind of got tore up here. Don't be taken in. Some of you didn't stay awake for this, I know you're very tired, but you should have listened to this. You don't want to be misled. It was the comfortable middle road of liberalism. In other words, I can understand why people are supportive of the Greek regime. There wasn't that much criticism of dictatorial fascism. It's the comfortable middle road. And frankly, there's a real schizophrenia. People accuse us of being schizophrenic, but there really is a real schizophrenia out in the world. Now, he probably said more about that government here against it than has ever been said by his lips before. Because in the church, he couldn't survive. I was trying to be as truthful with him as I could. The Greek Orthodox Church is so very much involved with the support of the terrible fascist and racist regime, that terribly murderous regime. I mean, they've murdered every one of their enemies there, and tortured them, and pulled out their fingernails, and poked out eyes, and cut female breasts off. And the church, the Greek church, has not said one word against it. The Greek church, American Greek church, has not said a word against all that murderous business. So I want you to be exceedingly wise. Someone can be sweet and smiles and gentle and kind, and he said he thought so much of us. Well, he wasn't telling us the truth. And I said the truth when I said we're not communicating. Then I realized I said too much truth. We were playing games. So I said, I might as well have said we were playing games, but I knew that wouldn't help any. He said, I've heard so much good about us. He lied. And do it so sweet. Folk can just lie to me so sweet. Would you believe it? I used to wouldn't tell a lie for no one. Even today, one of the sisters answered the telephone, said I wasn't there. She's trying to help me. I don't like that. I'd rather avoid a lie wherever I can, except when somebody's trying to do you harm. Then I've learned to not tell people things that they want to hear to use against you. I said we didn't like dictatorships of the right or the left. We were afraid of tyranny from the right or the left. I tried to goad him a little bit into understanding. Professor Roller gave some kindly disagreement, but yet supportive where I needed support. It was good. I was hoping someone after she disagreed would come in and agree with me. No. I think it was good. Not everybody yes me. I think it was very good. But someone else should have come in there and backed me up, because I didn't want you to be selling what she knows. You see, I've got to talk to some of our own people here. Now wake up. She was in the CIA, and she knows they do murder and they do kill. But my thought was, don't you say anything, because I don't want them to, because they could report her and cause difficulty, because she's been in it. But believe me, and I know we were staging things. But we don't put, someone said earlier, I think Harold was mentioning this, throwing pearls before swine. Well, we're sure not going to throw pearls out there. We've thrown them too many times, and they throw brickbats back at us. Instead of getting even our own pearls back, we got something else. And so I wish you would have stayed awake to watch me. Some of you were younger, particularly. You shouldn't have gone to sleep on me. I haven't been to sleep yet either for a couple of 3 days. And I wish you had stayed awake, because you could have learned something in the art of wooing and winning people, or leaving them confused. Never appear too wise. Throw them off, you know. Yet, you've got to tell them an element of truth, because they go out and find out you believe in some of these things. They do find out that I believe I'm God, or you believe I'm God. I perfectly made a way for it, because I said I don't believe there's anything up there. The only thing that there is here, in me. But I didn't say that. I just simply said I don't project too much on that. We do good for good's sake and so forth. And I could feel that he was getting home to him there. I'd opened up some thoughts that he'd not had. When I said, we just, out of enlightened self-interest, not looking too good. You see, the psychologist always trying to say that there's a motive for everything. And people are always defending, saying there isn't any bad motive. And so we let it know right off we might be doing it for all the selfish reasons in the world. But it was an enlightened self-interest. So we crumbled his case if he's going to call us nuts. He certainly have trouble calling us nuts after that. And you can never really know, my loves, what they will say. just by what went here tonight. But you, Liz, know that Lot Rides on You do an awfully good job there. Do an awfully good job. We might win that little girl. The little girl is sincere. But you'll have to be careful what you say. You can say, mention healings. He always plays himself down. But you can mention one or two just phenomenal things. He says he always plays himself down because this might throw off a little too much charisma. I might have thrown away too much charisma here for her to be won, because all people are won through that image. Everyone likes their God or their leader be put up high, and I put myself down pretty low. So she might have lost some of that necessary initiation, charisma. It'd be good maybe for you to talk with her in the presence of some of our other young people sometime. Maybe invite her for to go out for, you know, whatever, some little tea. I'm accustomed to tea reference in my travels, having tea and biscuits. Another thing I did, I wear these glasses for only your image. And I thought, aha, you think I'm afraid that I'm hiding behind any glasses. I took my glasses and, because that'd be one of the psychologists would be making some kind of, he wears those glasses for some reason, he can't look at people. So I made him quite sure that I could look at him straight in the eyes. So you want to always remember those things. I have a reason to wear these glasses, but it's sure not because I'm afraid of looking at any of you. You ought to know that. You can see that. You can weigh your father and watch him. There's nobody I'm afraid to look at. Never be afraid of that. But I have a good reason to wear these glasses because my eyes have a certain potency. And so sometimes it's good for me to take them off, too. I'll let you live with that parable. Think about it. Now, I know it's quiet, but we've got to come up with some money, folk. Anybody got any big $100 pledges to make on that building? We've got to have it in the next few days. We've got to put some money down where our mouth is. Anybody got any money to help us right now, quickly? Any assistance? I hate to do what I did Sunday. It's the only workable thing. Oh, good. Wow. That's fine. Fine. Well, that's lovely. Thank you. Did you mark it? You just mark it. Well, I don't know. You're putting it directly in the college fund. Dale, is it? No, not is it Wayne? Have you got your account set up? Where's Wayne? Is Wayne here? You got your account set up now? Okay, you make it. She make it out to you. That's good. Oh, that's good. Now we've got the money out of you. We've got the money out of you. So now you get out there in fellowship. Is that all the money you're going to give me? That's all the money I'm getting out of you? You. Yeah, go on out and see those folk. Come on, loves. I want to get loose from here, and we're 500 short. So what are we going to do with it? We're now 500 short. She just made $100. We were 600 short. What are we going to do with it? We're going to work our way down. And when you get your way down, we'll let you out. Come on, these parties, if you heard your name, that you must have it. You must have one of these tonight. I call the names. It's up to the people to put your hand up now. If I called your name, you get one of those cloths. 12. 10. Thank you. I woke up mother and got $2. $10. Come. Thank you. All right, come on. That's penance for going to sleep. All right, sweet of you. Come on, let's see. Let's see. No. 8. Thank you. 9. Everybody get the change. I mean, dig down and get the change. We can make it with the change. Dig down there. What did you say? Fine. Dig down there. There's no change. Only comes to $7 or $8, $10. Thing like that. Dig down. Whoop, don't pass that plate too fast. Wait. Start up here. You start in the middle. You guys gotta get the system with this thing. Pass it down one row. Is that the only row in that place? I mean, I want this to go up and down every row. Come on, folk. What are you doing? Let's get some organization this offering business. Everybody get change in your hand. Huh? Oh, well. Hazel Bisbee. All right, fine. Put it down. Anybody named Polly that's got a plastic purse, type plastic purse, red plastic purse? Polly? Okay, back there.
Keep that on her.
May give her vibrations. Different vibrations that come that you have to take care of things. They have different places, different reasons. Who's driving the car you're in? Who's driving the car you're in?
Mr. Yee.
Middletown?
Right.
Okay. You gotta have this. Keep this on.
Yes.
Sister Yee, watch traveling on Old Hoplin Road, if you're ever on Old Hoplin Road, going out Lakeport Way, if you're ever in that vicinity, be careful.
Thank you.
It's
Thank
most
you.
Important.
Thank
Something
you.
Something I see ahead.
But Thank you.
You watch your driving very carefully, and the 2-minute meditation, tell her about this.
Thank you.
Everyone get the change? I'm still on command. I'm on command here. Did it drop? Did it hit the floor?
Well, I'm not blaming anybody, but I just don't want it. If it hits the floor, I don't want it to go back, even though I touch it.
Thank you.
known sometimes that the Thomases are not in the church. I've known this has been brought my attention. You react to them like you would everyone that's outside. Draw in close. Not for you, maybe for somebody. Just draw in close. You need money, but you risk things with money. Draw in real close. Remember tomorrow night. We may have some films. We are not just sure on this. Our healing service tomorrow night, we'll get into that emphasis more. I need to talk to Jane Mutterman, and no, I don't need to. Please be looking for a car for our people to get around, for Simon Peter to get around. And we will keep a close lookout on that. Anyone that knows of a car, all secretaries are sent to Los Angeles too. All secretaries, every place, to look for an extra car. Yes? Well, if she wants to donate a car, that's fine. That's what we want, is a car. Yes, that would be fine. That's beautiful. Yes? Whatever you have to say, bring that Jim Cobb, go back and find out what she had to say. I don't want to hold another minute. I don't want to hold another minute. Okay. You're free. Get your peace. Get whatever you're going to get to eat.